to Habakkuk. Let's look at that. And I read in chapter 3, at the very top of the chapter, a couple of verses. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth." Now, let me pause there. I'm not sure Shigionoth is in your vocabulary. Very honestly, it's not in my vocabulary. But since I knew I was reading this, I boned up on it. And Shigionoth is just kind of a fancy Hebrew term that means something that is stated, and oftentimes stated poetically. But in this case, we're talking about a prayer that is done with an impassioned plea. It's something that's done with great emotion. And so he's saying a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet that is done sincerely, it is done carefully, it is done deliberately, it is done with a deep, deep desire. And this is what he says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." Now you'll notice in verse 2, there is a phrase that is stated not once, but twice. Not only once, but it is repeated a second time. And that phrase is, "in the midst of the years." Now, that's in the Bible for a reason, as are all things that are in there. And here's where I think this heads it for me. Just to illustrate, sometimes you'll see a young couple. They'll be very much in love. They'll be all excited about their wedding and their life together. And they honeymoon, and then they come back and they have a job, and maybe they take some training, they go to school, and a child or two is born, and you see them 5 or 6 years later, and that romantic spirit that they had 5 years ago has waned somewhat. And the energy that they are putting into their life together seems to not be quite as strong. Give it 7 years and 8 years, and they're just not as close as they once were. And you know how that sometimes plays out. In the midst of the years, things go awry. In the midst of the years, the ardor cools. In the midst of the years, that family doesn't do well. Second illustration, a church begins. Everybody works hard to put it together. We got to have property. We got to have a building. We got to have this and got to have that. And we're working hard, and we work to reach people, and we do everything that we can to get things in place, and we're all excited. And then in the midst of the years, it's like, well, hey, we can pay our bills now. In the midst of the years, we had to work hard back then. We don't have to work quite so hard now. While I was pastor in Maryland for a long time, I remember we would reach certain plateaus. I remember when we first began to average 500 in attendance. Some of the folks who had worked so diligently through the early stages of things, then we reached a certain plateau, and it's like, well, our church had gotten too big. We had the same thing happen when we hit 1,000. And then we got even on beyond that. And at several stages along the way in the growth, there were some folks said, oh, it's not like it was. Now, I never knew that it ought to stay at the same level. I mean, I just thought we were supposed to keep reaching people. I mean, whether we had 300 or 2,000, I thought if there was somebody down the street that was lost, we ought to go get them. But in the midst of the years, investing money and labor, doing all the things that we do, sometimes things cool down, and that church that once was aggressive in going after its town, now then, well, no, they don't knock doors anymore, and they're not having big days anymore, and well, you know, we're not preaching the Bible as much anymore because, you know, after all, people are interested in their feelings and their emotions and so forth. And I mean, we quit going to the jails and quit doing the nursing homes. And in the midst of the years, I mean, there was a time when we all carried a King James Bible, but times have changed. Oh, there was a time when we had standards, but now, you know, we're afraid we'll offend somebody. Now, in this passage, the prophet cries out to God in an impassioned prayer, and he says, "Oh God, in the midst of the years," basically he's saying, "Wake us up, stir us up, fire us up. Let us get back what we used to have before we got in the shape that we're now in. In the midst of the years, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. In the midst of the years, remember, in wrath, remember mercy." Now, there's several things in this little three-chaptered book of Habakkuk that play into this theme, I think, of in the midst of the years. If you look at chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, I submit to you that the preacher must see further than his peers see. This verse says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Here is a man of God, and he saw what others could not see. He was seeing further. He was seeing closer. He had a perspective on things that some other people were missing. We live in a time with great social revolution and social change in our country, and some of us believe our country is going down the tube. We believe that we're losing ground. We're not on the solid footing that we once had, and yet you cry aloud about that. You talk out loud about it. And you'll have people confront you. Oh, it's like, you know, you're talking against my political affiliation, or you're talking against my denomination, or you're talking against this or that I have ties to. Well, listen, some stuff deserves to be talked about. You know, and you say, well, I don't see it. No, but somebody ought to see it. Somebody ought to, and God has a way of equipping certain people for a particular task. And by the way, I want you to go to the polls and vote. I mean, if you're having a race for dog catcher, I want you to respect dogs enough, you'll go and use your constitutional privilege and vote. But the solution to the need of our nation is not going to be satisfied by the political types. We need some preachers. We need some men of God who will see what others do not see, who will get a vision from God that is anchored to the foundations of the truth of God, so that we're not just dabbling in the trivialities of the temporary, but we are anchored in the eternal truths that God has laid out so clearly in this book. And in the midst of the years, if we want to keep from falling to one side, if we want to keep from taking unproductive detours, you and I need to know, and Pastor, God help us. I mean, he would tell you, as I'm sure he does, and I would tell you, that, I mean, we're not 12 feet tall, but God has gifted us in a way and given us the privilege to do some things, and we better keep our glasses clean. We better keep our vision sharp, so that we can see what is going to happen down the road. And thank God we have some people like that. And there are still a lot of them across America. Now, I know we've got things happening that ought not to happen, but thank God there are people. There are people who still see the truth of God and who are unashamed and unafraid to stand up and to be counted for that. And in the midst of the years, the preacher must see further than his peers are seeing. I want you to look in the second place, chapter 1, verse number 12. Here in this verse, in the midst of the years, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. God is still God. You say, well, man, we've got trouble in the land. Verse 12 says, art thou not from everlasting, O my Lord God, mine Holy One? What's he saying? He is simply saying God is still God. It may be 2015, and we may have people pushing Allah. We may have people pushing the weird marriage. We may have people pushing all kinds of wicked, ungodly, despicable things. But I'm telling you, the God who is the God of creation, the great eternal God, he is still God. He has not gone to sleep. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a holiday. God is still God. And whenever you need to pray, there's somebody you can pray to. You want to get answers to your prayers, pray to God Almighty. Don't be afraid to lift up your little short prayers, your little two before prayers. Don't be afraid to do that at all. Talk to God. And know that there is a God in heaven and in the midst of the years. You say, well, buddies of mine who used to be right here in this church and now then they're backslidden and out in the world. I'm telling you, in the midst of the years, somebody may fall off. Somebody may turn on you. Somebody may betray you. But God is still God. You can count on God in the valley, in the day of difficulty, in the time when the burdens are heavy. God, who is the Almighty, is still God. Look with me at chapter 2 and verse number 14. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, the mandates of God have not expired. This verse simply says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Now, I think that's looking forward, maybe into the millennium. But what it tells me is that, we're not there yet, the time to which it references, and it basically is saying what God intends to accomplish has not been negated. It's not been set aside. And we just need to know that whatever God has mandated, that hasn't expired. You know, folks, Pastor and I were talking about some of our preacher brethren. It's like, well, you know, soul winning doesn't work in my town anymore. No, I know. You're sitting at the computer doing these silly blogs and stuff, trying to impress people that you know how to use a computer. You know, when you ought to go down the street somewhere and knock on somebody's door, you know. Now, and I mean, preachers and others of us ought to as well just understand, listen, we have a mandate from God. There are people up and down these streets, up and down these roads that are hurting. They're lost. They're hell bound. They don't have a prayer unless somebody cares enough to go and explain it to them. You know, we run into people now. I ask people just every once in a while, I'll hand them a gospel track, and one of my expressions is, I say, have you ever seen anything like that before? Just a little transitional statement, a little way of inching into the conversation. And I'm surprised at how many people there are in the United States of America when you hand them a gospel track, have you ever seen anything like this before? I mean, even in the Deep South, I'm having people say, well, no, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Now, the mandates of God have not expired. It's the reason we run those bus routes today. It's the reason you go and knock on those doors and get some folks to turn their kids loose to you and they're laying up there half drunk. That's the reason we do it. God has ordered it up and his commands have not expired. And in the midst of the years, you know, when you say, well, I'm in my 40s now. Yeah, but you're not done. Well, I'm in my 60s now. Yeah, but you're not done. The mandates of God are still his mandates, even in the midst of the years. Look at verse 19 of chapter 2. The definition of sin is not changed in the midst of the years. Verse 19 says, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone arise, it shall teach. Behold, it's laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Back up to verse number 9 in chapter 2. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Look at verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth the city by iniquity. Look at verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. What's it saying? It's saying that wickedness is still wicked. The definition of sin has not changed. Amen. You know, I haven't thumped liquor today yet, so now's a good time. Here we are at Christmas. Some folks think they have to celebrate holidays like that. Christians, even whole denominations of people now, it's a part of what they do. It's a part of who they are. You know, folks writing books saying, it's okay, just as long as you don't get drunk. You know, then they get upset with me when I write front page articles and expose them. Hey, listen. The Bible says, woe, 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 woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him and maketh him drunken also. It's not just the drunkenness, but it's the drinking and the drunkenness. It says, and drunken also. Now, what's the deal here? Listen, when I was a boy growing up, and my daddy, even before he got right with God, would say to me, never pick up a beer can, never wrap your hand around a beer bottle. I mean, as a little boy, sometimes daddy would stop, be something on the side of the road, a beer bottle. Daddy would say, you see that? I'd say, yes, sir, I see it. He'd say, now here, don't ever put your hand around it, but he said, here's what you can do, and he'd stomp it, break it up, take a hammer and bash it. He said, you can do that, but don't you ever put your hand around it. Don't ever put your hand around it. I go to baseball games once in a while. This year, only six times. Only six. I'm sitting on the aisle. Those vendors come along. Some guy down here wants that slop. They try to hand it to me. No, sir. You say, why don't you pass it? I mean, you're just passing it. Well, number one, I don't have a distributor's license. But I learned a long time from my daddy, who's in heaven now, that I wasn't to put my hand around it. And listen, hey, sir, why don't you pass the beer to that guy? Because my daddy said not to. Amen. You say, well, aren't you a grown man? I don't know. I hope I grow up sometime. Always wanted to be about 6.5 feet tall. Maybe I'll get there. I think I'm going the other way now, but anyway. I'm having fun. Listen, the definition of sin has not changed. And this kind of stuff, this corruption, verse 12, talking about him that builds a town with blood. You know, we're into a time in America where we've got enemies inside our country, and they come wielding violence, drawing blood, beheading people, driving airplanes into buildings. Now, you say, what's the deal with that? Well, 2001, when they, on 911, oh, we just thought we'd been attacked. We didn't realize at the time it was a coming out party for Islam. Yeah, it was their way of announcing they're here, they intend to take over. And they're moving rapidly. Muslim Brotherhood inside the White House now. I mean, working, got jobs inside the White House, etc. What is going on here? Listen, the definition of sin has not changed. It has not changed. And you and I, listen, I know our society, it doesn't like to be tagged. It doesn't like to be tagged. But when the preacher sees what he ought to see and understands the message of God and knows that God's mandates have not expired, what does he do? Listen, Brother Ross and I are going to love you enough. We're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you the truth. Not because we're trying to spoil your day, but because we're trying to love you like God loves you. And it's obvious from this passage, God tells you the truth about that junk. Amen. So in the midst of the years, sin's still sin. Look with me at, back up to verse, to chapter 1 and verse 4 and following. In the midst of the years, here I am serving God, doing the best I can do, and in the midst of the years, what's happening? In the midst of the years, the enemy of God is going to rise up to oppose the people of God. It's going to happen. Verse 4, therefore the law is slack, judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And you read on down through there, verses 5 and following down through verse 11, the description of the wicked, their terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swift, swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen shall spread themselves, so on and so forth. They shall come all for violence. They shall scoff the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. You say, what are we seeing there? Listen, the enemy of God becomes the enemy of the people of God. When you align yourself with God, the same enemies that try to defy God, they're going to bedevil you because of who you're connected to. And in the midst of the years, the Bible says, yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. We've been very spoiled in this country, very blessed. We have had it made in the shade. But now then, we've got trouble in our realm. It's not off in some other place, but it's in our country now. And this is not a picnic ground. This is a battleground. And whenever the trouble comes to your doorstep and it comes to your church and it comes to Jasonville, it's not the time for us to run and hide. It's not the time. Across this great land, we need the people of God to rise up and stand up and to reclaim what we once had. We really need that. The people of God are going to get pushed. They're going to get shoved. There's going to be difficulty for it. But we need to understand in the midst of the years, that's what's going to happen. Notice again in chapter number 1, verse 13, this passage tells us that in the midst of the years, we're not to take offense. Not to take offense, not to get wounded, not to get discouraged, not to get beat down. Verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and hold thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he. I think what he's saying there is whenever this trouble comes, whenever you get hit, whenever there's hurt and heartache, don't you wimp out. Don't you take discouragement and run with it. Don't just say, well, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Don't do that. Don't you take offense and run and hide somewhere. No, in the midst of the years, if ever, we're going to stand up to be counted, we need to do it in the midst of the years. Amen. Pastor, you and I have watched some of our preacher brethren. We've watched some of them get to their retirement years. What do they do? Oh, it's like I just want to coast now. Well, I pray God will forgive them for coasting. I'm already at a point where I go to McDonald's and get a senior discount without asking for it. Some of those young people that work at McDonald's, they just go ahead and give you the senior discount. And I look at them, I say, how'd you know? How could you tell? I'm at that stage in my life where, you know, that happens. But I pray earnestly, oh God, if you let me live to be 100, dear God, I want the fire to be burning. I don't want the fire to go out. Dear God, help me not to lose the courage to raise my voice. Help me. No, sirree. God is still God. The mandates have not expired. The definition of sin is not changed. And just because that we get some pressure doesn't mean that we ought to just back up and quit. And if you look at chapter 3 and verse 17, in the midst of the years, whatever succeeds or whatever fails, you and I can still have the joy of the Lord in our soul. Verse 17 says, the fig tree, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. You may find yourself a little short sometimes, not able to pay the rent, but don't let it take your joy away. You may be struggling. 93 million people in this country are still looking for a job. I think some of them got discouraged and quit. Even quit looking. But oh, my Lord, listen, the children of God, sons and daughters of God, must not lose that spark in their soul, job or no job. Rejoice yet in the Lord. He said there may be no herd in the stalls, no meat from the fields, all of that. But yet, keep that heart, keep rejoicing. You know, you come to church, sing the great songs. We've been singing them all day long here today. You know, sometimes I don't even pick up a hymn book. I miss half the words, but I hum along. Sing along. Nobody asked me to stand up and sing special music, but I do it anyway. Amen. I can't help myself. Can't help myself. It just happens. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. All of these, in the midst of the years. You say, well, hey, we've got 20 years in. We've got 20 years in. Hey, don't lose it in the midst of the years. You say, well, our church is at the stage where it is, 30, 35 years of age. Don't lose it. Don't let up in the midst of the years. Let's see, one more. I may have missed some, but here's one more. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Second part of the verse says, the just shall live by faith. Now, we know faith is the instrument that gets us to salvation. But this passage says, and the New Testament says, the just, that is those who are saved, how do they live? They also live by faith. That is, they live trusting God. Well, we lost the election. The guy we were for didn't get elected. Well, keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Keep walking with God. Don't throw out half of the Old Testament or half of the New Testament simply because somebody didn't get elected. You say, well, I thought I was going to get a raise. I thought I was going to make a lot more money. And it didn't happen. I not only didn't get a raise, I got my salary cut. Well, don't stop believing God. Don't stop trusting God. No, the just. We do not live by philosophy. We do not live by economics. We do not live by politics. We do not live by education. The just shall live by faith. Whatever comes or goes, whatever the highs and the lows, you and I have our eyes focused on Him. We believe Him. We trust Him. And we're just living with that in view. Now, the Bible's full of promises. I mean, every time I spot one, I say, man, I want to land right there. I want to park right there. Say, well, who's that promise made to? Far as I know, it's made to me. If I claim something God said and it's not for me, maybe He'll forgive me for trying to saddle that horse and ride it myself. But it's in the book. So you say, what are you saying? Well, Habakkuk said, in the midst of the years, oh, dear God, Shigonoth, impassioned, deep emotion, he prayed, oh, God, in the midst of the years, what happened? Things had fallen apart. In the midst of the years, things had waned. Things had died down. The fire was not burning. And what he's saying is, revive thy work, make yourself known, and in wrath remember mercy. Listen, folks, I don't want to get used to it in the midst of the years. And what I'm saying here and what I think this passage is saying to us is restir the embers, reignite the fire, rewind the clock, reset the agenda, reload the gun, refill the barrel, restart the buses, revisit the streets, refire the pulpit, retrain the soul winners, repass the plate, revive the sleeping church, repair the altars, reclaim our influence, and recover whatever has been lost. God help us. God help us in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years. God help us. Dear Lord, for your blessings, we're deeply indebted, and we are grateful. And dear Lord, for this good place where you have planted a lighthouse and where they have and are continuing to hold the banner high. Dear Lord, I pray that this passage from Habakkuk will be an alert to us so that we don't tire in the day of battle. So that we don't begin to coast and just assume that it'll always be this way. Dear God, help us to know that we have to keep peddling. We have to keep pressing on. We have to be willing to go to battle. Help us, dear Lord, in these days to keep our vision and to keep seeing what we should see. Keep us stirred up, I pray. And dear Lord, we're going to thank you for what you let us do. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Let's